lies in darkness, lost in their sin, and they don't even know the danger they're in. We who are called to that glorious fight will shine out with you and shine in the night. We will carry the torch. We will lift high the flame. We will march through the darkness with the light of His name, till the glory of God is seen by the world. We will carry the torch of the Lord. There's no need for failure, no need for fear, for the Lord goes before us to make our path clear. Let that glorious flame, let that glorious light, let it shine out through you and shine in the night. We will carry the torch. We will lift high the flame. We will march through the darkness with the light of His name, till the glory of God is seen by the world. We will carry the torch of the Lord. The torch is our Savior, the hope for all men. And as we lift Him up, He will draw of God is seen by the world. We will carry the torch of the Lord. We will carry the torch of the Lord.
Good job. Thank you. All righty. I'll give you time here this morning that we're looking for the book of Jonah. It's between Obadiah and Micah. The book of Jonah this morning, page 943 in your Schofield Reference Bible. Oh, you probably didn't even notice. Did you notice something different up here today? No microphones. Can't go up here and kick them back and all. But Brother James and we bought new wireless mics. Good job. They got them adjusted and all. Have you found it yet? Jonah. Look in the index. Look in the index. Small book among small books and Jonah. We're going to read from chapter 1 this morning, verses 1 through 4. Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 through 4. Now, if you're finding your place, or it sounds like all of you have found it, would you stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together this morning? Jonah chapter 1, verse 1. Now, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, the son of Amittai, saying, "Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their their wickedness has come up before me." But Jonah rose up to flee into Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down into it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord. But the Lord sent out a great wind into the sea, and there was a mighty tempest in the sea, so that the ship was like to be broken. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for this account in the Word of God about Jonah. Use it to help us today. Help us to get what we need individually from the Word of God this morning through the use of our pastor. Anoint him with thy Holy Spirit power. Help us, Holy Spirit, to ask for your fullness to get what we need from you today. And Lord, if there's somebody listening on the internet or in this room this morning that does not know Jesus Christ as their Savior, I pray they would trust him today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, check your cell phone. Check it now. Make sure it does not go off in the service. We're talking about Jonah and the whale this morning. If your cell phone goes off somewhere before the end of the week, you will be swallowed by a whale. So help us with that, please. We'd appreciate it. Excuse me a moment. Force of habit. We understand Jonah and the whale, don't we? We understand the Bible calls it, the book of Jonah calls the whale a great fish. Matthew 12, Jesus called it a whale. So we'll go with Jesus on this. And we understand that Jonah is someone told by God to do something. As we saw in chapter 1, verse 1, the word of the Lord came unto Jonah, go and cry against the city of Nineveh. And the Bible then tells us Jonah gets his instructions from God in his word, and he immediately tries to run to the other side of the world. Look up here on our map this morning. See, this is where Jonah was, right here at Joppa on the seashore. He was to go up here to Nineveh, about 350-mile journey. He tried to go to Tarshish. It's all the way over here. In his day, that was the other side of the known world. He's running from God. Can I define dumb for you? It's like when people say, well, I'm going to go to church anymore. And God's here because we're here. Once we leave this building, he is everywhere. So you can't go anywhere and get away from God. Our missionary on Wednesday night, Brother Maskey, used this text and talked about something else from Jonah and the whale. My Bible, my little study Bible I had with me, I'd read many years ago this first chapter in Jonah. When it says in verse 3, it says, but Jonah. You see that in verse 3? Then verse 4 says, but God. And next to those two verses I wrote, man makes his decisions, then God makes his. I want to talk to you about that this morning. People make decisions today. Look at me, friend. Look at me. People today really have lost the fear of God. And some folks think that's a bad thing. It's actually a very wise thing. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fear in the Bible refers to respect, to reverence. And yeah, to be afraid of him. Amen. But nowadays, look at me. We're so caught up in this, well, that's okay for you, but not me. That's your path, not my path. We're so loosey-goosey, sloppy agape nowadays, we really think that we can just make whatever decisions we want, and God will just have to deal with it. Look at me. Jonah teaches us, God, this man made his decisions, and then God made his. Okay, now, if you haven't read that long book, four chapters, you do know how it turns out, right? Question, look at me. Who won? Jonah or God? Jonah made his decisions, then God made his. Jonah made his choices, then God made his. So it's a simple thought this morning. The message is not deep, hasn't got a lot of theology in it. I'm not going to quote any Hebrew or Aramaic or Greek or to you. Just going to talk to you about the fact man decides, then God decides. I wish we could understand that hasn't changed in the mind of God ever since he put breath in that first pile of dirt in the Garden of Eden. Friend, look at me. He will let you decide, choose. That's what distinguishes us from the animals. That's why there's no evolution, where we evolved from lower life form to higher life forms, and we're nothing but two-legged animals, though a lot of people act like it. The truth is, one of the distinguishing characteristics of a human being is we make choices. And today in society, people think the more choices I'm given, the better my life is. And that freedom is free to choose whatever you want, however you want. That's not freedom. It's anarchy. Choices. You made choices today to get here this morning. You made choices to stay on your side of the road. You made choices in your life to get to this place today. You make choices every day of your life, and it's not always what makes you feel good. what puts you in a good place, helps you feel better about yourself, because we make choices. Now listen to me, we make choices, but then we have to understand from this account in Jonah and throughout the Word of God, you make choices, then God makes his choices. And ladies and gentlemen, please, God is going to win. He's really, and he says in our passage this morning that when he went to Tarshish, which is on the west coast of Spain, they figure, but in his day, again, it was the farthest part of mankind that mankind could go to. When he thought that, the Bible says that Jonah was fleeing from the presence of the Lord. He would even tell the sailors on the ship when the storm came. He said, yeah, I told these guys, I'm running from God. And he made all of his choices. Then God made his. Now, why did God try to stop this man? Because God was trying to help Jonah realize, look at me, the choices he made were the wrong ones. And what does God do? Five times in this four chapter book, it'll either say God sent or God prepared. And God prepared certain things to try and stop him in his life. So yes, you can make choices, but God's going to make his. And the point is, we might as well go ahead and line up with God and his choices. Amen. Now see, that's deep. But I tell you what it will do. It'll keep you out of a lot of trouble in life. You won't spend time in a whale's belly. Swallowed by a whale, lived 3 days and three nights. In Matthew 12, Jesus likened his resurrection from the grave to Jonah being swallowed by the whale, and how Jonah came out of the whale's belly 3 days and three nights later. Jesus came out of death 3 days and three nights later, rose from the grave. It'll save us a lot of time. It's a lot of thinking that I can choose and decide. Who do you think is going to win the battle of choices? God is always going to win. It may not happen right away, but it will happen. Man can decide to ignore the Word of God. Jonah did. It led him to running from God. Notice, when I look in your Bibles, keeping your Bible open to Jonah 1:3. Notice when Jonah decides to flee from the presence of the Lord, verse 3, unto Tarshish, from the presence of the Lord. He went down to Joppa, couldn't find a ship, couldn't get the money, couldn't find the fare, couldn't find a boat, couldn't find anyone to go with him. What does it say? Now look at verse 3. And he found a ship going to Tarshish. Ladies and gentlemen, in that day, they didn't have regular boats going somewhere. Those were journeys of 3 to 4 years to make that journey. But he decides to run from God's presence, and he just happens to find a ship going the direction he wants to go. Well, wait a minute, go further. So he paid the fare thereof, no government subsidy. He paid the fare thereof and went down into it to go. He even had the right amount of money with him. It wasn't like he went on the internet and found out the fare to Tarshish. It wasn't on a sign. He would have to go up to the captain of the ship and say, I want to go to Tarshish. He said, that's where I'm going. How much is it? And he would give him the amount. And then Jonah had to pay it up front. He not only found a ship going the other side of the world, he also had the money to help him get on a ship to go to the other side of the world. Everything's working out with Jonah's choice. Hello? Here's what we think. Well, it's going good. The prodigal son took his inheritance and went to the far country, spent it on riotous living. It didn't happen overnight that he went broke. He had enough money to party. He had enough money to do what he wanted. It worked for him. Watch me now. When we make choices, just because it works in the moment doesn't mean it works. We got to be careful now. We got to be smart enough to realize, because when Jonah gets on that ship and he's headed the other side of the known world, then God sends a storm. Why? Because everything was working great for Jonah. Oh, I'm in a good place right now. Everything's working together. My plan is coming together. I've got what I wanted. I'm getting what I want. I'm doing what I want. How could it possibly be wrong? And not just the prodigal principle of partying and living like a fool. I'm talking about people who make plans for their life. They make choices, but they know they're contrary to what the Bible tells them to do. And they make choices and they ignore God's word like Jonah does. And then God has to kick in to teach them, you don't ignore what I've told you. You don't ignore that. Why are there 1,200 Christian religions in America today? And I heard a fellow say it just the other day. Well, they're all basically the same. Oh, no, they're not, or they wouldn't be 1,200 of them. And they wouldn't all have different names on them. And they wouldn't all go by different creeds and following and religions and beliefs and principles. I'm talking Christian religions. I'm not even touching stuff that's outside of Christian belief and practice. Why is that? Because people have decided, they come to the Bible and they decide to ignore what the Bible says we're supposed to believe and do and make a religion to suit the religion that they want. They find a religion, like people are looking for a church. I'm looking for a church that suits me. What you should be doing is looking for a church that follows God's word. That's what it should be. Rather than a church where I like the music, I like the people, I like the programs, I like the stuff. They have ministries for 5'2" redheaded buck teeth people. And I want one of those, and I want this, and I want that, and I got these. And they're looking for a religion that suits them instead of looking for something that says, what are you following the word of God? Do you want to do that? 39 plus years I've pastored this church, I can count on that hand how many times, minus five fingers, people have ever come up to me and say, I want a church that's biblical and right. Here's the thing now, watch. But we can ignore what the Bible tells us, but then God will bring in his choices behind that. And be not deceived, God is not mocked, whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. We're gonna reap that stuff that comes in. Specifically, like for instance, in the matter of salvation. All these 1,200 religions, they have a different type of salvation. Now, it's almost always related to their church. By the way, we're not like that here. This church can't save you any more than the chair you're sitting in can save you. No church saves anybody. This morning, folks will get baptized. Baptism does not save anyone. Joining a church does not save anyone. The Bible says very clearly that salvation is through the person of Jesus Christ. He died on the cross to pay for our sins, rose again to purchase the gift of salvation. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And there's a ton more if you want me to give them to you. The bottom line is this. That's what the Bible says salvation is. Well, then how did they come up with all this other stuff? Because they ignored what the Word of God says. Here's the problem. You can be moral, decent, a good citizen, and wind up in hell when you die. Because when you leave this life, God chooses. He warns us here, calls us here, encourages us here, draws us to come to himself. Jonah, just the word of the Lord came unto Jonah and he said, yeah, but I'm not doing that. Then God said, okay, then here's what I'm going to do to get your attention. Can I ask you a question this morning? What has God been doing to try and get your attention about what you do, about what the Bible tells you and how you should live your life? Man chooses, God chooses. Man decides, God decides. Jonah did the same thing when it came to just ignoring God. He just decided, you know what? I know what the Lord has told me to do. I'm aware of that. As I said, if you read further into the book of Jonah, he'll even tell the people that he gets on the ship, by the way, I want you guys to know I'm running from God. Now, those guys on the boat must not have been very smart. And he sets out, and he decides he's going to just, you know what? I'm going to turn this whole God thing off altogether and try to get myself to the other side of the world. And so Jonah made a choice. Well, let's see. How did it sit with Jonah? Look in your Bibles, chapter 1. Look at verse number 5. So they set out. Verse 4, God sends a great wind. The ship is about to be broken. Look at verse 5. Then the mariners were afraid, cried every man unto his God, cast forth the wares that were in the ship into the sea to lighten it up them. But Jonah was gone out to the sides of the ship and was crying and weeping and knew what he had done because he felt so bad about what had happened to him. He went down inside the side of the ship. Ladies, and look at me. Knowing he was running from God, he went down the sides of the ship and was at total peace with it. Laid down and went to sleep. I was talking with somebody one day about their soul and their life and stuff, and just about their soul and their stuff. And they go, well, look, you don't have to worry about it. I'm at peace. I said, yeah, Jonah did too. They go, who's that? And I told them the story of Jonah, the account of Jonah in the Bible. You know, my personal peace and satisfaction is not a determining factor that I've made a good choice in my life. Jonah was sound asleep. They go down to the ship and they go, why are you sleeping? He wakes up, what? I mean, the storm is about to break the ship in pieces. He has no issue with that because Jonah made his choice, and when he did, he was at peace with that. I'm okay with my choice in life. I'm okay with this. I'm okay with the way I want to live. I'm okay with my life. I'm okay with the life I've chosen. I'm all right on this thing. I'm going to do what I want to do. And you know what the truth is? You say, well, Pastor Johnson, we're church people. We're in church this morning. I mean, for goodness sake, don't give me a bad time about it. I believe in God and everything else. Question is this. But are you at peace with what God's not at peace with? Because I can make peace with stuff. Oh, I sure can. We bought one of those great big bags of caramel cheese popcorn from Costco. When we were in the Chicago area, used to be those popcorn places, little hole in the wall somewhere in downtown Chicago. They made caramel cheese popcorn. I shouldn't have said that. And it was warm and kind of gooey. The cheese they put, it wasn't like grated cheese or that nasty nacho cheese canned stuff. It was powdered cheese, probably from a pouch or something. But you put that together with fresh caramel corn on warm pineapple. Excuse me, popcorn. I got it. You got warm caramel corn popcorn with cheese on it, and you put them together. I mean, you pull that and come out in chunks. Lord, let me keep in English. You pull it out in chunks. So we bought this big bag of caramel cheese popcorn at Costco. It's not quite the same, but if you close your eyes and imagine you're in Chicago, it gets close. The problem is that bag is that cotton picking big. Because you can't buy anything in a small bag in Costco. It has to be that large. Then you start thinking, it's going to go bad. It's going to go stale. My people taught me, remember all the starving people in China. I don't have the postage to send it over there. So we better hurry up and eat this. And brother, at 10 o'clock last night, I was at peace with a bowl of caramel cheese popcorn. And then when you're done, you get to lick your fingers. It's fantastic. It's like, oh, yeah. Did I tell you about the time I had a respiratory infection? Never mind. The truth is, I've been at total peace with things. Look at me, total peace at things that were wrong. Well, that's why the Bible says the human heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Oh, I don't have a wicked heart. You're at peace with that. Truth is, I know mine. I know my heart. And Jonah is sound asleep. Look at me. He's risking everybody's life to save him. Those guys are heathens up there, and they're throwing stuff out of the boat. They're crying out to their God. They're trying to do everything they can to stay alive. And this man who caused all of it is down on the side of the ship, sound asleep. Not bothering him at all. You know what? The truth of the matter is, we make that choice, and we can get to the place where we can pretty much ignore what God's trying to do in our lives. So what does God do? God ratchets up the attention-getting device. From a storm that's about to destroy the ship, then the mariners come to him and say, well, you told us you're running from God. What do we need to do? And Jonah says, well, then if you take and throw me overboard, we'll be all right. Okay, look at me. Why didn't he just jump then? Why does he make them throw him overboard? If that's what's going to work, hey, if that's going to work, say, fellas, I shouldn't have done this. I'm sorry. Whoop! And jump off the thing. No, he's still doing it his way. And so they say, no, we're sorry about this fella. Woo! And they throw him overboard. He hits the water, the seas lay calm, and a great whale comes up and just swallows him. And then chapter 1 ends with Jonah and the whale's belly. 3 days and three nights. Chapter 2 in verse 1, and Jonah begins to pray. Okay? Look at me. How long do you have to lay in a whale's belly before you start doing business with God? 3 days. How long? This man took 3 days and three nights. Then he starts praying. How long do you have to share a room with fish? How long, you and Krill, down there in the belly of that whale? 3 days, three nights. How long does Nebuchadnezzar have to go out there in the backyard scratching in the ground like an animal? And how long does this man have to go before he looks up to heaven and says, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will? 7 years living like an animal before he comes to himself. How long was the prodigal in the hog pen? It says the famine arose in the land. Famines don't come up overnight. It's not one day crops are in the field, water's flowing down the streams, everything's good. Next day, boom, there's nothing there. It took years. This kid lived for years, not just partying, but when his money was gone, the Bible said he would fain have filled his belly with the husk that the swine did eat. That young man literally tried to make a hog pen work, sleeping with pigs. I slopped hogs when I was a kid for a little while. My Aunt Patsy told me, she said, listen to Michael, you throw the food in there. You get in there, they'll eat you. We'll eat them eventually, but they will eat you. Those are not your friends. So don't get like your idiot cousins and try and ride the pigs around in there, which of course we did. But the truth of the matter is, it's amazing. How long do you have to live with pigs to think this is not working? Now people look at me. You say, well, I'm not on the bottom of life and without everything in my life and that kind of stuff. That's not the issue. Do you know how many people I know have a regular paycheck, good health, money in the bank, life on the right track? But when the storms rage, they can't handle it. We can't do that. People, listen to me. We cannot ignore the fact of God's claims upon our lives. Because that's a decision you can make. And then God will kick in and he'll do what he wants. And he'll do it on his terms. And he will, look here. He will ratchet up the attention-getting device until you get to the point where you say, okay, I will arise and go to my Father. Or you'll look up to in the heavens and say, the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it whomsoever he will. Or you'll be like Jonah after 3 days and three nights saying, you know, this is not working either. And he called out to God. There's one more decision here. Listen to me. And when Jonah said, I will, chapter 2 in Jonah, he makes this long flowery prayer. But when he gets business with God, then God responds. God, he makes this long flowery prayer. I went down to the bottom of the depths and the seaweed was wrapped around my head. And I finally realized where I was. And then, and he said, and then I'll do what you told me. God speaks to the fish, drops him on the shores near there back at Joppa again. He makes a 350-mile journey in a very short period of time. And look at, and when Jonah made his decision to do business with God, God made his decision to help Jonah out in his life. Hey, no deals. We read Jonah and we think, well, why didn't he just go tell those people? Because Nineveh is the capital of capital city of the Assyrian nation. They hated Jews. They didn't just hate Jews, they tortured them. They cut their heads off and put them on sticks. They set their bodies on fire. They pulled the skin off their bodies while they were alive and then gutted them and then killed them. They hated Jews. Jonah's a Jew. He's going to go to the capital city and tell them, like going to Washington, D.C., everybody in here get right with God. No wonder he ran to the other side of the world. You see it? So I get the picture. But I also get this. When Jonah did business with God, God did business with Jonah. So here we are this morning. It's really simple. This morning, my friend, you can make your choices. God will make his. Go ahead and let God help you make decisions to follow him. Do what he wants you to do. Honor his word. Honor him as the God of heaven. Honor his path that he has for you in life. Because, friend, we don't have time to waste. The city of Nineveh was approximately 200,000 in population at this time. In the 3 days and nights that Jonah was in the whale's belly and the days he spent trying to run from God, hundreds of people died who never heard the message Jonah needed to deliver. Is God trying to get your attention about something? What he wants you to do, hey? What he wants you to do. How he wants you to obey his word in some area. Is it in the matter of your salvation? Trusting Christ and settling that, knowing for certain you're going to heaven? Is it a matter of following the Bible in some area of obedience? Listen now, you can go on, and trust me, you'll find a ship and the money and go to the other side of the world. You'll even fall asleep in the middle of the storm. But God will just keep trying to get your attention. Why is he punishing you? No, he's trying to get you to come to him. How much easier it would be just to come to God when he draws, when he pulls, when he nudges, when he brings you to himself. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.